to the company to give the employees.
I guess. So just to review, so we have the two rabbis in the Gemara basically revolving the same exact case. Namely, a son. You're right, okay. So do you say that there's a chiv that the father should stand, the son stands for the father because kibbutz of anyway? You say no, it's beneath the son's cover. This is a review of this far. So you say it's beneath the son's cover to do it because he's a ra. So what's the counter argument to that? You say is that because when the son stands for his father, it's not Mr. John standing for Mr. Smith. It's the ben for the av, for the gavra of the av, for the shan, the avchek shan. That's why he said he can stand, according to him, he can stand for Russia. Even if the father's a Russia, he can stand for him. Because you're not standing for him as an individual, you're standing for the abstract shan av. So therefore you could argue, therefore the question is as follows, is that normally you say that a person can't stand, a Talmud can't stand for a lesser person. But how do you measure, it's not a cover of the Talmud Chacham to stand for a lesser person. But here, how do you measure the lesser person? Do you say that since he's a lesser person, you don't stand for him? Or you say, no, that since the conceptual nature of this activity is a ban for an av, so you don't say that he's standing for a lesser person, he's standing for an av. So therefore it's not a bizayon in his cover. So do you look at the conceptual nature of the activity which it's standing for an av, in which case there's no bizayon to the cover of the Talmud, where you say no. The essential definition of the activity is, bottom line, is that it's a greater person standing for a lesser person, which is beneath his cover, it can't be done. Because that was the question. Right? Okay. The question now is the other way around. Does the father stand for the son, for his rabbi? Okay? Does the father stand for his son, who's his rabbi? So I mean, the surface again, you'd say, yeah, it's Kavod HaRav, why not? But the way the other side is in the Gemara is that no, it's that he's not Kedai. It's not Kedai for a father to stand for a son. Not Kedai. So the question is, why not? I mean, well, he has a Chiv Kavod. Right? I mean, he has a Chiv Kavod. Doesn't he have a Chiv Kavod? Chiv Kavod. He's a rabbi. Stand for a rabbi. So what's this Yibaya? I mean, presumably this is a second Yibaya. It's not necessarily, you know, it's not the exact same thing. It seems to me it's a new question. No, I hear what you're saying. By the way, just this pshat question is which side of the previous Yibaya is this assuming, if any? Is this assuming? Which side? Because there's the first Yibaya, does the son stand for the father? Now, is this second Yibaya assuming one of the sides of the Yibaya, right, or not? Could it work either way? You know what I mean? Okay, let's leave that question. It might depend on the Svar. Okay. So I'll tell you a thing like this, that I think I want to just give a Svar more for Jacob or something, is that if we say, let's say you assume that they're standing for a father, it's because he has a chal shema, it's for the shema av. Let's assume that, okay? Standing for the father because he has a shema av, not for the person, but it's because of the shema av, okay? Fine. Yeah, the question is like this, is that, if you say, what's the shema av? Because you reflect Shemai. Right? Shema av is a reflect Shemai. Now, do you say similarly that the shema av, so to speak, has a counterpart, a relative, the shem ben? Right? And there's the ben and the av. You know what I mean? The ben is also a chal shem. Okay, which defines him. What do you say now? That it's a chiv on the ben, on the son, to stand for the guy who has a shem av. But it doesn't relegate the son's existence to being an institution of ben. It's chal on a person, on a gavra, to stand for that institution which embodies the shem av, his father. I mean, but does that so facto define the son and depersonalize him, so to speak, and define him as an institution called Bain, and it's institution of Bain stands for institution of Av? Or do you say no? It's kid, right? It's the kid, whoever he is, Steve, standing for the institution of Av, but he's a person. Okay, you with me? And what's the difference? So things like this, that if you say that when it comes to a father and a son, there's the Chal Hashem for Av, and it has a counterpart, the Chal Hashem Ben. So then you can't have an Av stand for a Ben, because if this father will stand for the son, so it's the institution of Av stand for the institution of Ben, which is not possible. You'll say, yeah, but the son's a Rabbi. He's not a Rabbi, he's a man. And see, Rabbi is getting into his personal, who he is as a person. But if this idea is saying is that when it comes to Kibud Avayim, it's like the shame Av generates a shame Ben, and the people lose their identities, and they simply become instances of the shame, the categories of Av and Ben. So therefore, it doesn't matter that the Ben happens to be a Talmud Chacham or be whatever, because that's looking at him in a personal way. But when you deal with the Av and the Ben, they both are just figureheads for positions which they hold, and their personal characteristics are significant. Just like the father could be a Rosh and he still stands for him, the son could be a Tzaddik and Talmud Chacham, and the father can stand for him. Okay? But if you say that really that there is no shame Ben, the Ben just means a person has to stand for the institution of Av. But the Ben is a person, he's a regular person, it doesn't generate a shame Ben. So now the question is, the father wants to stand for the son. So if the son is a Talmud Chacham, so then you don't say it's bizarre to the father, because he's not standing for Ben, he's standing for Talmud Chacham. He's standing for the God of the Talmud Chacham. So there's no bizarre in there. Now he's his father. Yeah, but he's standing for the Talmud Chacham, for a great God of the Talmud Chacham. That's what he's standing for. And now he happens to be a son. Okay, he happens to be a son. But it's not a bizarre. It's not like the father of the institution of Av supporting himself to the institution of Ben. It's just this guy who happens to be in the institution of Av, but he's standing for a totally different thing. This is a great Talmud Chacham. It happens to be his Ben. Who cares? But if you say the Shem Av creates a counterpart of Ben, then you can't say he's standing for Talmud Chacham. Then he's standing, then it supports you to Av, and this is Av for Ben, which is the opposite of the whole system. You know what I mean? So the first thing was, you know what I mean? It's like the reason why you'd say there is a...
Question? Any questions?
Okay. So the next point is the Ran. Okay, the Ran has different approaches to this. Okay? And the Ran's basic question, the way he learns the both Yibayas, it seems like he learns them both together. He seems to stuff them together. Which is that what happens, because the Ben, as he says, like the Ben is chayav to stand for the Av, and the Av is chayav to stand for the Ben. So they're equal. So therefore you could say that since they're equal, basically there's no chayav. Okay, do you say that when you have equal chayav, there's no chayav? Or do you say, no, you're still chayav? Okay, and when you have the equal chayav, is there, it's like a wash and they cancel each other out, or you say no? Okay, that's what he says, that you might say that since Torah is Mechayiv stands for Chacham, it's also Mechayiv stands for a father, so they're equal. So therefore no one's Chayiv to stand for each other. And he says, like, just like it asks whether the son has to stand. It's the same thing. Okay. Does the fact they're equal cause, like, knock out the Chayiv or not? That's the question. That's the question. Does the feather equal knock out the chiyum or not? Like, what would you say about this? Like, what about if you have, let's say I have to get my father a drink. He wants a drink, right? Now, I have to get my rabbi, he has to get his Talmud a drink, right? So let's say they want a drink. Like, who has to get who a drink here? Is that the same question here? Like, let's say you'd say they're both chayav. Could you imagine that they both have to get each other drinks? Like, is that possible? Like, could you get me a drink? Could you get me a drink? I'll get you a drink. We go in circles. And so we can get another drink, right? Doesn't seem possible, right? Doesn't seem like you can each serve each other. You can't have two serves, right? Seems not possible, right? Just seems like practically it's not possible. You know what I mean? But standing seems practically possible. I think Gary's point, I think, is a good point. I mean, it's the first point there. That you can't. What's going on here? Why is this? Okay, so Gary's point is good, that we're on the run, whether or not the chiyuvim are going to cancel each other out. So see, Gary's point is good, that you can't, like, for instance, the same reason why you wouldn't have to get each other drinks. It's not possible. Because the idea of getting this person a drink is you're supporting yourself to that guy. You're a subservient. Right? Now you can't have a mutually subservient people. It's a contradiction. Right? Subservience means you're setting up a relationship of me, I'm under you. You can't both be under each other. So insofar as kavod is mechayev subservience, you can't simply, like, there's halacha yirashamish, it's part of kavod, it's yirashamish like yirashamish a rab. You simply can't have two people be mishamish each other. So in that regard, it would seem that they should cancel out. Or one of them would run out, I guess the stronger one. But it doesn't seem like the Ron's introducing stronger ones, you know? It seems to be it's because there's a, you can't mutual subservience, okay? But now if you argue that in standing up, I'm standing up, but standing up is an action of subservation, so then it would seem you have the same problem. That there's two mutual of subservience, and it simply can't express itself, right? But let's say you look at standing up not as a subservient, being very subservient, but simply as a demonstration of respect, right? As I'm demonstrating that this guy is important. So you can both demonstrate that each other are important. Why can't you do that? You can't mutually subserviate yourselves to each other, but you can mutually show that you're significant, because subservient involves certainly an aspect of covet is subservation. Aspect of the question is that what standing up is? From, you know, so that's the question. Is kima separate from the other aspects of kavod, where it shows subservience? Do you say that kima is like a demonstration of respect? Respect. Now they're not contradictory. You're right. Kavod and father are two different both. They're two different. Why you can't? Why they can't so to speak coexist? Why you can't each respect? Except they could coexist. But in action, if the action is an action of subserviation, that's impossible. The action which demonstrates the respect can't coexist. You can't mutually subserviate yourselves to each other. So if you say that kavod is simply subserviation, standing is just an element of your subservience, then you simply can't have it. So they're going to have to cancel each other out. You know? But if you say that the kima is like apart from the rest of us, from the demonstration of the person. So if that's the case, then you could argue that you could do it to each other. So that's the question: is it a part or not?
Is it a part?
An element of the subservience? You say no, that kima is something other. It's funny now. You could ask. This is something that was bothering me in this whole thing. It's like kira in both ways. You know, like sounds like it's the same chakira, but the Gemara is bringing it up as if it's two separate chakiras, right? I mean, the Gemara is asking one. So, I mean, aren't these, according to this way of definition, it seems to be it's one and the same question. I mean, the way, and he kind of alludes to the fact that Raya from different cases, so it asks it as two different questions, you know what I mean? Because even though conceptually they're dependent, practically they're two different things. So, one case it brings the Raya from a father, another case brings the Raya from the rabbi side, you know? But I see that Ron does take it up, though. He takes it up and he says, he takes that on the next page. I didn't see this one. I did it originally, but it's on the Dalam of Beis. Because the Dalam of he talks about it, then he comes around again. And he says, it's because see the Subi Gemara. I mean, you have to see. If you have it, good. If not, it's quick. He says, Yibayilu, Benobura, Mashem, Fakaloma. Afilu, Imtim Solo, even if you want to say, Dibinochai, Lam, Ivanov, even if you say the son has to stand for the father, can we buy a lie? Still a question. The Efsha should call Echad Chayav Mamon with Nehacher. So I stand for the father. Now there's a further question. Does the father also have to stand for the son? Or they both, or not? Right? Or is it just, you know? So right? But wasn't there's original question that they both should both stand for each other? But I think he just means, is like, see, if you just had the first Lakira, and you say that the Ben stands for the father, you don't know if that's because really it's not subservience and they're both standing for each other, or maybe really it is subservience but the father wins out. In other words, you definitely have a clash, but you could say it is subservience but maybe the subservience it's a wash and basically no, or maybe you say maybe there is it is subservience, standing isn't there subservience but the son stands for the father because the father wins out because the institution of Av causes the father to win out over the Ben. And that's why, really, I'll tell you that it is a din of subservience. But the reason why the son stands for the father, you know, would be, is what about in the other aspects? Let's say getting him a drink and all that. If you say that, well, they were saying that it's the son winning out because of, you know, the father wins out, so then really the son should also get him a drink, should do everything for him, because he's saying he wins out. You know what I mean? He's saying he's really stronger. But if you say that it's really, no, there's no winning out, it's just because standing is different, so then in everything else, there's not going to be any clear. And I don't know if that's possible to say this enough in here, but let's assume that if you go that far, that's just going to turn out. But I mean, it does seem that if you're going to tell me that according to that side that the son would be the one standing for the father and not vice versa, it would seem that you are saying that the chiyuv kavod is in full strength. Oh, I should be by everything. So then, you know. But if you say they both stand for each other, I can't see how it's possible to say that they're going to have to both get each other drinks. So it does seem that the facts lead you towards that conclusion. Yeah. And he brings down that that they paskin. They're different psaks. I mean, they're different psaks. The Rambam paskins that you... the son stands for the father and not vice versa. Okay, the son stands for the father and vice versa. According to the Rambam's part, what he's saying is that the father is the Chalashem of the Av, therefore the son can stand for him, right? Irrespective of the fact. And that was good, that was the thing. It basically points that way. There's the Chalashem of the Av and the Chalashem of the Bat. They're both Chalashem. So the son can stand for the father, it's not lacking his cover because he's the same Chalashem Av. And the father cannot stand for the son. This tape is, I don't know. No one's going to be able to follow it. It's on a slide.